Shalom, Mishpocha. Shalom, family. Mishpocha is a Hebrew word. It means family. We're the Mishpocha, the family with a Jewish heart, made up of Jewish and non-Jewish people with a middle wall of separation between Jew and Gentile. It's finally come down to form one new man, one new humanity. Getting ready, Mishpocha, to blow the grandest shofar. Oh, the grandest trumpet in Zion. We want everyone everywhere to hear the good news. We want everyone everywhere to be red hot for the Messiah. Let me tell you what God is speaking to me. We had a season in which there was such an emphasis on the Holy Spirit. It started the whole charismatic movement, and rightfully so, because the Holy Spirit, there wasn't much of an emphasis on him. And then there was such an emphasis on the name of Jesus, the power in the name of Jesus, and rightfully so. But we haven't had that same revelation on God the Father until now. Why haven't we had that same revelation? Because just before the Messiah returns, God says in the prophet Malachi, he will turn the hearts of the children to the fathers and the hearts of the fathers to the children. And I was so excited when I got a hold of Hank Kuhneman's new book, My Heart Cries Abba, because we now have that revelation. Hank Kuhneman, you have such a biblical revelation and prophetic going from Genesis to the book of Revelation on the love of Father God that I believe that everyone that wants that revelation, and I can't imagine a believer that doesn't, by the time they finish your book, they're going to get it. How did you happen to even write this book? What was the catalyst, Hank?
I learned this revelation, Sid, as I was driving in a very bad ice storm. In Nebraska, we have some really bad ice that comes. And this one particular day, I was driving, and it was very, very icy. You have to really slow down, and you have to drive carefully because the roads are extremely, extremely dangerous. In fact, there were cars and trucks, semis that were overturned, cars, literally on their sides, some on their tops. And I was really beginning to be afraid. And I could feel the sweat coming down my face. And I saw that the conditions were worsening. And so I called out and I said, Lord, I need your help. I want you to watch over me. I need you to watch over the situation. And of course, I was saying it in fear. And all of a sudden, I heard a very strong but gentle voice saying, Hank, why wouldn't I take care of you? After all, I am your Abba. And when he said those words, Abba, it's almost like my spirit being began to reverberate, just vibrate. Abba, 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 Abba. And I couldn't shake it. And it's almost like as I was driving in this ice storm, all I could focus on was the word Abba. And so I began to go home and research, the definition of Abba. What did it mean? And why did Jesus in the garden, in his moment of incredible pain and a feeling, with great drops of blood as he was sweating, and it was in his time where his soul was vexed. Why, of all things that he would cry out in Mark 14 to his heavenly Father, he would use the word Abba. And so I began to say, God, with my life and the things that I've gone through, or people who are living today, there's a real sense that people are hurting. They've been through some things. Some people, their souls have been, vexed. And I said, God, I really sense in my heart that this is the final revelation of what you are going to reveal before the Messiah comes, and that is a reconciliation or a bringing back of the people, connecting them to the heart of who God is, Abba. And so that's why I wrote the book, and that's really how it began to come to me.
And I want to tell our listeners right now that we're friends. I'm friends with Hank. I recently spoke at his church, and Hank opened up to me and told me some personal things that he has never publicly shared. And he wasn't sure he wanted to share it. And you told me that recently you heard the voice of God And what did he tell you?
The voice of the Lord spoke to me and said, Hank, the reason why you were born into the family situation that you were born into that we're going to talk about here, he said, is because I want you to share a story, a testimony to help other people. You know, I've learned something. I've been in the ministry since 1986. And Sid, I've learned the importance. We have to be honest. We have to be genuine. We have to be able to share our stories that can empower and help somebody else. And
You know, as you and I have discussed, I am so sick and tired of plastic Christianity. If we can't be real, who can?
Well, I don't think we're helping anybody. You know, we're supposed to be ministers of reconciliation, and sometimes the way that you reconcile is through being honest, being open, and being transparent that can help people who can identify with what you've gone through. And really, in my book, Ava, I talked about how there was, you know, three types of fathers. And I began to understand that, you know, there's the biological type of a father where, you know, they're just basically what we would call the sperm donor, but they're not one who stays around and raises that child. Or there's the provider and the protector. You know, they're the kind of father that, you know, they put a roof over their head, they protect, they provide, but there's not a lot of love and affirmation. And then there's the third kind of father that maybe some who are listening today have had the honor of having that. That is the father that affirms them, looks them in the eyes, and tells them, hey, you know, I love you. Well, I didn't have those examples growing up. I had the biological example. Let me give you what I'm saying. And again, so this is really the first time that I've really opened up on this level like this, because it was something that I felt like, you know, I just needed to just kind of hold on to, not really let anybody know about it. But the more I realized as I was writing this book that God was after something. He was after the hearts of man, and he wanted to heal some people who've been broken, who's been wounded, you know, people who are saying, you know, can I love God that way, like a daddy, because of their own experience of their own either absence of a father or their own experience with a father. And so people are crying out, and they're saying, you know, is God angry at me? Is he ashamed of me? Is he willing to get involved in my life now? And so I grew up, I had a biological father. I never met him. He's not alive today. But he was a biological father. He married my mother. And at the age of one, he left. And left her with two kids. And went on his way. And I never, you know, I didn't ever come to know him. And so for years, I felt like I had to hide this thing that I wasn't, you know, my name is Kuhneman. And I felt like I had to hide this thing that I was not a blood Kuhneman. And something that people need to understand.
So you almost felt, as a kid, in a kid's mentality, second class.
Well, I'll tell you why I did. Because the... let me just kind of tell you, move ahead just a little bit. My mom remarried and married what some would call my stepdad, even though I never called him a stepdad. I never referred to him as by his first name. He adopted me as one of his own at the age of two, and he had four kids from a previous marriage. My mom had me and my sister from my biological father, and so when they came together, it would be my adoptive grandparents, or some would say step-grandparents. They didn't receive me as their own flesh and blood. And there were times growing up, it was very hurtful for me because they would say things like, you know, you are not one of us. You don't have the true blood in you. And they would say things like, you're never going to get our inheritance. Now, they had a lot of money.
What about something like Christmas, Hank? What was that like for you?
Well, and that's it was very painful for me. Here I am, a little kid, and of course I'm not bitter. I did experience the pain of not feeling like I belonged, and so they would constantly take the four blood grandchildren, and they would give them the bigger gifts or give them gifts, and there was times because I wasn't their own flesh and blood. They would say, you know, you get a smaller gift, or I would get a card at my birthday. Well, I had to watch my brothers and sisters, you know, open up bigger presents and get money at times and, you know, promised an inheritance that once the grandparents would go on. Well, what happened is nobody got any inheritance. My grandparents wound up both needing medical care and extended hospital stay, and it ate up all their inheritance. But growing up as a kid, and I mean, I'm 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 years of age, and I'm wondering, why am I being treated differently? I don't understand this. And what do you mean that I'm not part of your own flesh and blood? And so growing up, that was very hurtful. I always wanted to feel like I was part of the family. And I had to learn through those times that, you know, I couldn't get upset, I couldn't get bitter, but at the same time, there was times where I would go away and I would just cry in my room because I couldn't relate and understand, well, how am I different than my brothers and sisters? Why am I not a real flesh and blood Kuhneman?
And in that whole thing as a little child trying to process, raised in a non-Christian home at age 5, you had a visitation.
Yeah, that is the most amazing thing. And this is what I want to encourage people today. Even though you may grow up into a family or a situation that you didn't ask for, you know, I didn't ask for it. I was a part of a process that I didn't realize that Abba was working at that time. At the age of 5, my dad was in the military, my stepdad here, and he was in the military and he had orders to go to Guam. And I remember at the age of 5, I heard a voice, and it was so tender and it was so sweet that I began to look around. I was on the driveway and leaning on the back of our parents' car, my parents' car, and I heard this voice. And again, I'm talking in simple childlike terms. I heard this voice basically telling me that I was loved, and that if I would do good and do good things and be nice to others, that there was a great plan for my life.
Uh-oh, we're out of time. But I think you've heard enough. You need his brand-new book, literally just off the presses, My Heart Cries Abba, his 3-CD set, and we call this The Final Revelation, Father God, available for a gift of $35. To place a credit card order for today's offer, call anytime at 1-800-447-2697. That's 1-800-447-2697. Or log on to our website at www.sidroth.org to hear this week's interview or watch archives of our television show, It's Supernatural. Visit our website at www.sidroth.org. That's www.sidroth.org. Discover how you can begin watching for free our 24-hour, 7-day-a-week TV network, ISN, the It's Supernatural Network. You can write me at Sid Roth, Post Office Box 39222, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28278. That's Sid Roth, Post Office Box 39222, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28278.